Bibles, go to Ephesians, and then we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. And it's not time for review, okay? Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 17. Now, those of us who are just getting started, okay? And that happens here. Some of us are just getting started in our Bible study. Find the red letters. Find the red letters in your Bible, okay? And when you find the red letters, turn to the right, okay? Ephesians chapter 4. And we're not in any hurry, so take your time. I want everybody looking. Your Bible doesn't have red letters? Oh, it ain't a real Bible then. That's what I hear. You know. You're probably in major trouble. All right. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Now, I always make y'all review. I'm going to do the review today. It's not unusual. For those of us who are just getting started, it's not unusual for us to need to learn some real simple kind of things to get started. We hear the word church a lot, all right? And most of the time, the way we use the word church is to refer to a place. Now, there's not many people call this a church, but you know what I mean. You'll hear things like, I'll see you up at the church. Boy, isn't that a pretty church? Or let's go down to the church. It's a building, okay? Now, God never uses it that way. It's not wrong for us to use it that way, but God never uses it that way. And that's going to be important when we start reading Ephesians. Also, sometimes, and more often than not, you hear us talk about church as, where do you go to church? As in, what brand of church do you have? You know? And for some reason that we want to kind of figure out what brand of church they are, because then that determines something about them. We got to be careful about that. God never uses the word church, never uses the word church in the Bible to discuss denomination or brands, okay? That's not wrong for us to do it. It's just the way we do it in our language. When God writes this letter, this little short letter, He wrote it to a church at Ephesus. If you've never been there, and I've never been there, I don't know anything about the town. I just know there's a group of people meeting there just like us. I know they're like us because it says they did some things that were just following the desires of their flesh and they got themselves in a bind. That fits everybody here except the little ones. And most of us sitting here have said it out loud and we've been honest about it and real open and real about it here. That's why we're here. Now you can go to church anywhere else in town you want, but you walk in these doors, it's almost as if you're saying, I need somebody to help me because I've messed up. I've made a mistake. I've done some things that I'm ashamed of. I've done some things that I'm trying to overcome. I've done some things that I've got to just, it messed me up and I've got to rebuild my life. That's why this letter was written. That's why God established this church. So let's exercise first, okay? I went to church as a boy because Mama made me. And Daddy backed her up, so I didn't have any chance, right? Then as I got older, I went to church because, well, that's what you had to do if you were going to be a Christian. Tell me why you came today, and honest, no Sunday school. Tell me why you're here today. Why are you here today? You get to pick. You get to say. And again, I want it to be honest. What'd you come for today? Catherine and then Bart.
I came to refuel. Like during the week, I have a lot of stuff that, as strong as I may seem sometimes, I let people get me down, or I'm tested by my own weaknesses. And I think I get some strength so I can face the next week.
All right. Bart.
I just try to leave things off. I've learned. Coming here, how much God loves me and what He did to save statement, and the plan put in place way before I really got that.
Yeah.
And I can do enough now to honor him and try to get closer to him.
Yeah. It helps me stay on path. It gives me a focus, at least to start the week off with, if anything. But a lot of times it's not just to help me get focus, it's to see other people's focus and challenge my focus.
All right. Why'd you come? What are you here for? Why'd you come? And we're going to take our time. We're not in any hurry.
Also, just like hate. I mean, it's around good folks. And I teach the boys on Sunday mornings. That study helps me in my study. It also is encouraging them to see those boys sometimes.
See, it doesn't always have to be about what we get. Sometimes it's about what we give.
Reminds me of something we talked about with some friends last weekend. Growing up, my dad taught us that when you've been given much, there's a lot required of you in return. And speaking with our friends last week, I'm reminded every week that we come here, God gave us a lot. There's much that we got to give back, just like you just said. And it's a chance for me to remember that when I go back to school, I've got to remember the much I give back has to do with what I say, what I do. It's tough. Cat was saying every week something's going to grab you. Mm-hmm. And it's a reminder that, yeah, there's a lot demanded of us. Much must be given back. And it's not that it's a works, but it's the love of doing things for other people.
I'm 44 years old, and I still have a mama that asked me, you missed church last weekend when you were in Austin. So are you going to church tomorrow? So even I did miss it last weekend. But I hate saying, no, Mom, we miss church this Sunday because of this.
Yeah. So, see, you can come for all kinds of reasons. You can come to receive something from the Lord. You can come to give something back to the Lord. You can come to receive something from one of your brothers and sisters. You can come to give something back to your brothers and sisters. Or you can come just because you're scared of your mama. It's okay. We're glad you're here. It could be just for the donuts I got up at 4 o'clock this morning to bake. I keep waiting for somebody to buy that. Nobody buying that.
Number of lightning rods.
Everybody's going, ooh, here it comes. There are people that will come today, and all those are good things you said, good things. There are people that will come today to find a different kind of life. It'll be just that basic. It won't be just to get help. It won't be just to be... honor the Lord. It won't be just to bless someone else. It won't be just to enjoy the singing or the church service. No, some of the people will be coming because they can't breathe. They'll be coming because life's too hard. And they'll drag themselves through those doors and try to find a moment, just a moment, where they can catch their breath and maybe find some help. Reading Ephesians chapter 4 makes me think that's why some of those folks attended church, if you want to put it that way. And what it could happen today. I mean, it already happened for John, but it could happen today for you. Whether you're someone in this room that doesn't have the new life from Jesus yet, you don't have that gift from God yet, you could get it today. Or if you already have it, but you've grown tired or you're getting slack or you're distracted or distressed by things in life, you could get restored. Yes, you could. Things could come back and refresh you and refire your fire. But you could be changed today. Because if you have a struggle with a habit, if you've got a struggle with an addiction, if you've got a struggle with an impulse, if you've got a struggle with just some issue of your own heart, and life, you could be changed today. And that's the way I want us to approach it today. I'm glad you're here to praise God. I'm glad you're here to love each other. I'm glad you're here. But for the next few minutes, let's open our hearts. Let's open our hearts to the Lord and His Word and let Him do some work on us, change us. Ephesians chapter 4, let's read it into the record and then we'll discuss it. I tell you this, and I insist on it in the Lord. Underline that phrase, y'all. Underline that phrase. This is not a suggestion. What we're going to read today is not a suggestion. This is not some kind of good advice. This is not Dr. Phil wisdom. This is straight from the Lord Himself. I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking, for they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. Now stop. Stop. Honest. What did that sound like to you? What did it sound like to you? Today's society. What did it sound like to you?
Always more for me.
Always more for me. What did it sound like to you? And it's interesting, growing up going to church when we read those verses, when I was in a school where they taught the Bible, we focused on those verses. We gave all kinds of illustrations. I can remember the teacher going through those things, defining all the words in Greek, and then going through all kinds of illustrations of how that's taking place out there. The truth is, when I read it this time, you know what I remembered? You know what I had to admit? This is not talking about anybody out there. This is talking about me. This is talking about the things that took place in my life that got my life in such a mess, right? So if you're a person in this room who has lived your life and made some serious kind of mistakes, the kind of mistakes that you're willing to say, I messed up and I had no hope with God. I was far away from Jesus. Then this describes us. Now I want you to circle the words. Give me the words in your Bible. Give me the words that describe us. Describe you. Describe me. During that time in your life when you weren't walking with Jesus, during that time in your life you didn't care a thing about God, what words describe? I circle futility first. What's futility mean? Futility. It's useless. It doesn't do any good. How many of us got into that rut? How many of us got into that routine? How many of us got into that lifestyle? We kept doing this thinking that somehow this was going to make us happy. Somehow this was going to make us feel content. Somehow this was going to bless us. And what did we find out? Honest. What did we find out? Every drug, every moment of sex, every drunk, every high, every lazy moment we've ever lived our lives, where did it lead us? To anything better? No, it was futile. We tried it all. We tried everything there was. And you put us all together, we tried a bunch of stuff. And what did we learn together? It doesn't do any good. Keep reading. Why'd we do that? Because we were darkened in our understanding. That means you couldn't see beyond your own desires. You couldn't. It was dark. You were walking away from the light of God, so you were darkened in your understanding and separated from the life of God. Now, folks, when you're separated from the life of God, what's it like out there? If God is light, what's it like out there? Dark. If God is love, what's it like out there? If God gives you peace, what's it like out there? Chaos. That's what you have out there. We were darkened in our understanding and separated from the life because of the ignorance. Underline the word, folks. Because of the ignorance that is in them. Now stop. We don't want to finish the phrase yet. Ignorance that is in them. I grew up going to church and knowledge was a big deal. Knowledge was a huge deal. You had to memorize all these facts. I mean, our teachers would grill us and drill us to know these facts. Oldest man in the Bible. Methuselah. I'm going to tell you, you can always tell people that go to church. Oldest man in the Bible, Methuselah. How old? See, I knew that. See, these are church people. They know that. Now, here's what's amazing about that is I know that fact. But there were so many other things I didn't know. I knew how old Methuselah was. Who cares how old Methuselah was? Really, right? I mean, is there going to be like a pop quiz right before you get into glory? Yes, Rex, before you come into heaven, how old was Methuselah? Yeah, I've got to answer a question. No, thanks. I'm not going to make it. But then, I'll be honest, because some of us grew up that way and raised that way, we moved away from that. We begin to think, well, it's not about knowledge. Yes, it is. It's not about the knowledge of facts, but it is the knowledge of experience that comes with knowing facts that change the way you think, change the way you live. How many times have you said, I just didn't know where this would lead? I didn't know what would happen. That's the ignorance that is in them. So it was futile, it was dark, separated, ignorant due to the hardening of their hearts. Anybody in here? Did I know what I did was wrong? Did I know it? Yeah, I didn't just know it, folks. I could quote the verse. I could quote all the verses. I had sermon outlines. I could have told you all the things that you shouldn't do. And I could even give you good advice on how not to do it. And guess what I was doing? I was doing them because my heart was hardened. Your heart gets hardened because you've lost sensitivity. You look back at it now and you think, man, how in the world could I have done that? You get so ashamed of what you did. You get so upset. I can't believe I did that. But in that moment, because your heart is hardened, you lose sensitivity, and then you give yourselves over to sensuality. Underline the word. Because the idea there is, y'all, when we stop feeling embarrassment, when we stop feeling those kind of things, we start looking for other things to make us feel things. You'll start looking for pleasures to make you feel something. I cannot tell you how many times it happens. Somebody comes into my office in my private practice. They're going through a horrible divorce. Their heart is broken. They're just so ashamed of, embarrassed that they're going through it. They're just so hurting. And the first thing they want to start to do is have another relationship with somebody because it'll make them feel better. Got a text that said, oh, I'm doing better because I've finally loosened up and I've just decided to be human. Translate, I'm going to do whatever feels good to me to do. Where is it headed? Futility, darkness, separation, ignorance, hardening, sensitivity, sensuality, as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. What's implied in the phrase continual lust for more? Never enough. It doesn't stop, y'all. Now let's stop here a second. You breathe out, you can breathe in. And there's some good stuff to breathe in, but let's breathe out first. How many of us in this room does this describe? And which word describes you best? Back then, not now. Thank God, not now. But back then, what word described you best? I'll let you pick the word. If we can be honest about it, what word, what phrase described you best?
Calloused.
Is that verse 19? Yeah. Lost all sensitivity. What phrase describes your walk away from God, your mess, best?
Hardened.
Catherine?
Indulging.
What word best described you? when you were making the choices that you shouldn't have made, doing the things that you shouldn't have done. Roger.
Corrupt.
Last call. Brad. If I was to pick one out of all of them that apply to me, the one I'd say the most was I lost that sensitivity. I lost that conscience. I lost that fear of doing something that was so against my character, so against my what I knew to be true and what I wanted to be true about my life. That's who we are, okay? That's who we were. But now read verse 20. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of Him and you were taught in Him in accordance with truth that is in Jesus. Now hang on. So what makes the difference? What takes me from where I used to be and what I now want to be? Stay in the verse. What takes me from what I used to be, what I used to do, and what I want now to be and what I want now to do? Truth in Jesus. Anybody want to add to that? When he gets the right answer the first time, it's kind of hard. Anybody want to add to it? Ah, truth in Jesus, and we had to learn it. We were taught it, so we had to learn it. We had to receive it. All right? Now, did I know it? Did I know it? Could I pass the test? Could I win the award? Could I answer all the questions right? You betcha. Nailed it. I could have answered every question right on the multiple choice. Could have got all the true false right. Would have won that Bible bowl you were talking about. But, I hadn't learned it. I had to learn. I had to be taught again Jesus. The truth that is in Jesus. That's what today ought to be about. Truth is, it's what about every time we meet ought to be about, is us opening ourselves and learning the truth about Jesus. Well, now what truth are we talking about? What truth are we talking about? Jesus was born of a virgin and he was born in Bethlehem and he was raised in Nazareth and he died in Jerusalem and he was raised on the third day. Good stuff to know, but is that the truth he's talking about? You stay in the text, because you're getting nervous. Well, I mean, those things are important. I know those things are important, but what is he saying here? What's God saying here? He says we learned the truth in Jesus, and we were taught in regard to our former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. So start there. One thing that ought to take place every time I read my Bible, every time I gather with people who are going to discuss the Bible, every time I approach God's Word, what should happen to me first? What should I learn first? What should I take to heart first? That's not hard. It's right there. I'll let you answer it, though, so you know I'm not making it up. There's some stuff you put off. There's some stuff you put off. That, give me another way to say put off. Stop. Another way to say put off. Leave behind. Another way to say put off. I'm sorry? Get rid of. Every time I approach God's Word, there's some things I need to be aware of. I need to get rid of some stuff. I need to put it off. Now, can we do it? I don't know that we can do it. We got some visitors, so we're kind of nervous this morning. What do you need to put off? What do you need to put off? What part of your old self? You've already been forgiven. We're not talking about forgiveness. We're talking about becoming like Jesus. We're talking about living life like Jesus wants us to live. Living life worthy of His calling. That's what we've all discussed that. So tell me, what are we doing? What do we need to put off? Our pride. I said our pride. Louise said it was hers. So we'll start there, but I share in that. What do you need to put off? The desire to control things. What do you need to put off? Guilt. What do you need to put off?
Gossip.
What do you need to put off?
Stubbornness.
What do you need to put off? Guys, we're going to stay here a minute, so just relax.
Language.
Bad language. What do you need to put off?
Selfishness.
What do you need to put off?
Pride.
What do you need to put off?
Anger.
What do you need to put off, John?
Temper.
What do you need to put off?
Futility of my old way of thinking.
Old way of thinking. What do you need to put off?
Fear.
What do you need to put off? I would have said fear, but I think mine's not so much fear, and you won't understand how my brain's working, but I'll explain it later if you need to. I lack the courage of my convictions sometimes. And it's not so much afraid of what's going to happen if I exercise that courage. It's just, I don't know what the outcome will be. I don't know what the result will be. I need to put off some old stuff, don't you? Don't you? So we learn from Jesus, you want a new way of life? You want to walk worthy of the King? You can't live like you used to live. You got to put some things off. Now, next thing. Look what he says. You put off those old things because they're corrupted. I mean, they're dirty. They're rotten. They're nasty. And be real honest. Is there anything back there in addiction you want? Is there anything back there in adultery you want? Is there anything back there in laziness you want? Is there anything back there in prison you want? Is there anything back there in lying and cheating and stealing you want? Do you want to go back to that? I don't want that. I don't want to go back to that because I remember how bad that was. I remember how it felt after the fact. I don't want that. What do I want? I want to be made new in the attitude of your minds. Verse, the number two thing. One time, some things you got to put off, folks, and that's a decision you've got to make. You got to grit your teeth and decide, I've got to get rid of the language. I've got to get rid of that pride. I've got to get rid of that fear. I've got to get rid of that stubbornness. I've got to get rid of that selfishness. I've got to get rid of that. So I've got to be concentrated on it. I've got to say, I've got to stop this. But it changes, he said, to be made new in the attitude of your mind. We've got to start thinking different. We've got to think differently. Now, how do we do that? How do we get a new mind?
Start putting in the new thinking. As soon as you think the old thinking, remember what the new thinking is.
All right, so where do I get the new thinking? Truth of Jesus. Exactly, the truth of Jesus. It's what we were taught. You want to know how to do things differently? Watch Jesus do it. Now, this is way... No, it's not overstated. I was going to say, it sounds too simple. It really does. But you ought to try it. You ought to try it. Just take the life of Jesus, and I'll let you pick whatever gospel you want to read. Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Just pick one. Just pick one and read it. Read a little bit every day. If you want to change your mind about something, read a little bit every day and then let Him determine how you think about this or that. You want to know how to think about your children? Those children that are such joys and such wonderful blessings. You want to know how to think about them? Stop trying to control and start thinking like Jesus about them. Three things we learned about Jesus with kids. What did He do? He took them in His arms. Make sure you give your kids plenty of loving. And you accept them. He said He received them. Your kids are going to be different, y'all. It's just the way it is. Same mama, same daddy can bring up a completely different bunch of kids. Man, I got three brothers and they're all abnormal. I'm the only normal one of the bunch. But it's amazing. We had the same mom, same dad, same house, same discipline, same everything. And every one of our temperaments, every one of our personalities, every one of our needs were different. My mom and dad were geniuses that way at picking what, except they gave me whippings that I didn't deserve. I mean, they learned that different kids need to be treated in different ways. I hear parents say it sometimes. I treat all my kids the same. Ooh, you're making a mistake there. Because every kid is different. You need to address that child. Jesus accepted those children. And then he held them. He took them in his arms. He loved on them. And then he blessed them. You know what the word bless means there? He said good things to them. Are your kids hearing you say good things? Or honest, can they summarize everything they hear from you as, get up, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that? Be careful that you don't spend your day and burn up all your time of talk and discussion with your kids in giving them orders or fussing with them about themselves. Maybe, just maybe, they need to be blessed. Now, that's just the start. But try it. Try it. You want to see Jesus? You want to learn a new attitude? Watch Jesus. You got a boss that you can't stand? You got a boss that you can't stand driving you crazy? You have to make yourself go to work because you have to just get ready. Watch Jesus. Watch Jesus with those same kind of people. Watch how he dealt with people that had authority over him. Watch how he dealt with them. And then read what he says to us about how to deal with them like Jesus. He said, you're working for God. You're not working for them. So do your job the best you can do, whether your boss appreciates it or not. Yeah, but you don't understand. He ain't. I understand he ain't. But God is. So you do your job for God. You want to change your mind? You want to change your attitude? That's how you do it. So that's just a good start. Is start letting Jesus determine your attitude. Now, you know the next thing I'm going to say, because I've been saying it for months, years here. You want to start changing your attitude about things? You want to really? Make it a habit to read Proverbs. Chapter a day. Pick the calendar date and let that determine the chapter. Today's 22. Read 22. Read the 22nd chapter of Proverbs today. And if God gives us tomorrow, read 23. And just let God give you something to think about. So I got to put off my old stuff. I got to transform my mind. I got to get a new attitude in my mind. And look at the 24. And put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, if you're not careful, we get really lost in church words right here. We get really lost in church words. Boil it down to us. Put it in your language. What did he just say? When he says, put on the new self, what did he just say? Fake it till you make it. What did he say? I'll let you think about it a minute. What's he saying in there? Put on the new self that was created to be like God in truth, in righteousness, and holiness. What's he telling me? Lynn nailed it. Simplest way to say it. Didn't say it was easy. Just simplest way to say it is be like God. Be like Jesus. When he says righteousness and holiness means, don't get lost in those big words. Don't get lost in those religious words. Righteousness means be right. Do the next right thing. Well, that boss did this. I understand that boss did that, but you do the next right thing. But my wife did that. I understand how a wife can do that. Not me, but I've heard other people could do that. She's sitting right there. You do the next right thing. Yeah, but you don't understand. I know I don't understand. Nobody's saying I'm understanding. I'm just telling you God understands, and he said, do the next right thing. Yeah, but that's hard. Well, duh. What's not hard? You want to go the other direction? You want to try the not hard way? Where'd that lead you? I guarantee you what I had out there was much harder than what I got in here. So put off the old stuff, get your new attitude, and then start trying to be like God, being like Jesus.
Behind me cleaning up the mess as I go. It's kind of like a thing that developed in coaching where a kid goes out and he throws a bad pass. Next play. Forget about the fact you just messed up. Think about the next play. And that's really what this is talking about.
Yeah.
You mess up, next play.
Get a new attitude about your life. Get a new attitude about Jesus. Stop worrying about the mess you made in the past because you can't change it, right? So all I can worry about is, right now, do the next right thing. And that word holiness means just live your life like you belong to Jesus. Holy, H-O-L-Y, could also be spelled W-H-O-L-L-Y. You belong wholly to God. So be like God. Be like Jesus. That's what he's saying. So there's some things I need to stop. I need to work on my attitude. And then there's some things I need to start. All right. Just to make sure we understood what he was saying, let's read the rest of it. Since that's the case, since there's some stuff I need to put off, he's going to give me some things maybe I need to put off. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truth to your neighbor. We're all members of one body. In your anger, there's anger, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. And don't give the devil a foothold. Now, if you've been stealing, don't steal any longer, but work. Do something useful with your hands so that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. There's that talk, that language stuff. But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Boy, I need that one. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. So is he giving us a pretty good list to get rid of? But be kind. And folks, it is not, I didn't say it's always easy, but it is simple. Just be nice to people. Just be kind. Yeah, but you don't understand. I know I don't understand. But God said it. Just be kind and compassionate to one another and forgive each other just as Christ, as in Christ, God forgave you. And be imitators of God. Don't let the chapter break stop you because it's the same thought. Be imitators of God. As dearly beloved children, live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. What did he say? He started off by saying, I insist that you not live the way you used to live. Don't live the way those folks live. Don't live the way you used to live. Put that stuff off. Folks, there's some things we need to stop. And I'm not the stop police. I got too much to work on myself. I'll let you handle yours. But we need to stop some stuff. Put it off. And we need to work on having a new attitude. And then let's start putting on some of those things that help us look like Jesus. Kindness and compassion and forgiveness. And let's live worthy of the calling, he said in 4:1. Now he says to live a life of love, just like Jesus did.